Visiting today with OSU specialist in cotton, Seth Bird is with us. So kind of start off telling us, I know that harvest is almost complete. Are we all the way done?
Basically, I'd say yes. I mean, I think the cotton that, you know, was moderate to good to great is out. There may be some straggling fields left, you know, that folks didn't really want to put a lot of harvest aid into, or maybe they're waiting for a freeze. We've just recently gotten some of these freezes, or fairly recently, in some of these areas to make that a possibility. Or, you know, if there's any other delays in harvest, a lot of times, a lot of our folks that rely on custom harvests get delayed because their harvesters are laid somewhere else. So that's typically what we may see still out there now. But I mean, by and large, yeah, the 2021 crop is probably done in Oklahoma.
So what are you hearing for quality reports?
Yes, so far, no red flags. One of the things that I think, well, I guess there's a couple of things that we thought we might run into. One of the things that we had talked about, I guess a couple of things we talked about there being an issue with would be potentially micronaire. And really that was more of a conversation that was going on in July and August when we were still worried about our maturity. You know, we had a slow start and we caught a bunch of rain, which was great, but we were worried about maturity. And I think September really erased a lot of those fears about low mic. And, you know, look at the reports and the majority of our micronaire is falling in between either the premium or the base category that's slightly above premium. And almost all of our micronaire is from a 3.5 or higher. So that's good. You know, no signs of low mic or not a prevalence of low mic. And then the other one was leaf grade. You know, we talked a lot all year. I think you and I have talked about leaf grades and defoliation since August. And that's been a fear. Majority of the leaf grades coming in now, you know, 70-some percent are between 2 and 3. We still got about 12% as a 1. And then 4 is kind of where we start to worry. As of now, for the season, we're right around 13% of the bales class have had a 4 for leaf grade, which is not bad. I mean, what you'd be concerned with is if you were, you know, 30-some percent were in the 4s and you start to see it creep into the 5s and 6s. And we're not seeing that yet. And at this point in the season, we may see leaf grade start to increase as we start getting into some more of those fields that maybe had some regrowth or had some leaves frozen onto them. But if we're sitting, you know, at an average of a 2.6 now, which is what we are, that, you know, we're not really concerned at this point about leaves. So some of the things we were worried about have proven to not be as big of a concern. So that's a good thing.
You previously mentioned some freezes. So where are you hearing that folks have gotten freezes, or where have they not? Are they still waiting on freezes?
I think everywhere that needed a freeze has gotten it. You know, as late November, there were areas that were still, you know, waiting on that first true freeze. Even in sort of the northern parts of west central Oklahoma. I think now as we move into mid-December, I think most of those areas have received them. I think some of those northern areas of the state where we may defoliate but not use paraquat, or where we have, you know, lower yield potential dryland cotton that we don't want to put a harvest in on at all, and we're going to rely on that freeze to end the crop for us. Those areas this year also were sort of waiting longer than normal to have that first freeze. You know, most of the state, your first freeze is going to occur in October. And I think a lot of areas made it all the way through November before they had their first true freeze. So, you know, some of those areas that really needed it or maybe would have liked to have had it sooner waited longer than normal. But I think at this point, everything has at least received it. That is a cotton producing area of the state.
Well, do you feel like the supply chain disruptions are affecting any of the cotton producers as well? Because that's kind of like a nationwide thing that I feel like everybody's kind of fighting right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I consider myself fairly isolated. I only work in cotton. So I really only talk to cotton producers. And if I talk about other commodities, it's other commodities that they may grow that they bring up. But it's certainly affecting everything. I mean, it's affecting producers. I think we're seeing other aspects of it affect our ginning industry. It's really, I don't want to, you know, get too dramatic, but I think there are certainly some concerns going into 2022 in terms of what we're going to do. And if we're going to grow cotton, you know, what we may need to change or shift or adjust so that we don't get to May or June and be like, oh, you know, I planned on having all this, but I don't. You know, we probably need to make those plans earlier in the process so that it doesn't cause such a big hiccup. But yeah, I think that, you know, certainly the cotton industry isn't immune to any of the issues that production ag is facing right now.
Well, and I've also heard some labor shortages that they're having at the gins. It sounds like you're kind of hearing that as well.
Yeah. And when we talk about labor, you know, not to say that, you know, our producers don't need labor too, and they certainly do, and it affects them. But, you know, ginning is such a seasonal business, and you really rely on, I know those guys really rely on seasonal employees to come in and really help get through. And especially a year like this where, you know, that's not a big year. You know, we're not having gigantic yields, but we've got a lot of cotton out there that needs to be ginned. And so that can really magnify the labor issue. So I think it started to really have an effect there. I don't know what you do about it.
I don't know that anybody does at this point. I mean, yeah, I think everybody's just kind of waiting to try and see if there is anything people can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess one of the things, if you want to sort of, and I try to be, look at the bright side, you know, on the bright side, you know, we are, the majority of our cotton is now in these round modules, which are probably a little more weatherproof sitting on the gin yard than the older modules are. Maybe there's a benefit to what we're doing. That's really, you know, I'm digging for the silver lining right now.
Absolutely.
You know, it's definitely a problem. And that's one of those problems that I don't know, you know, at some point I'm hoping this supply chain issue will get resolved. Maybe it's not going to be back to where, you know, we used to be, but maybe we'll get it resolved. I don't know if it's going to be as easy to fix the labor issue. That may be a little more difficult of a problem to address.
Absolutely. What should producers kind of be doing right now or thinking about or planning for?
Yeah, so I mean, certainly been looking at varieties. We talk about variety selection a lot. A lot of cotton variety selection decisions are made before harvest, unfortunately. In a year where we talk about supply issues or supply chain or just transport, you know, they're going to be pushed to make those decisions probably even earlier. You know, we'd love to have all of our data in and let folks see variety performance well before they make those decisions. But that's probably just not a reality most years, and especially going into this year. So I would certainly say, look back at the last couple of years, we've had two very different years in a row, 2020 and 2021, in terms of crop condition and the weather and the seasons we've had. So you probably got a pretty good idea of what varieties are stable on your, you know, farm or in your area. There's a lot of variety. There's always a big variety turnover. Cotton's probably, you know, one of the commodities that has a very high turnover of varieties year to year. So this may be another year, and we always kind of recommend sticking with what you know. But if you had a new variety on your farm, or you had one that was new in 2021, you know, you may not have that comfort level with it. Keep that on a smaller number of acres. You know, put your acres in the more proven performers, because you may not have as much time this year to look at results of trials.
And I know with like everybody kind of concerned about input costs, what should producers kind of start right now looking at herbicides for 2022?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you're not looking now, I mean, yeah, look now if you haven't started already. Hopefully you started, you know, a few months ago, because it's certainly, that's my, you know, and I've said this several times on several different platforms, I guess, but that's my concern. I mean, we talk about fertilizer a lot, and it's important. I'm not trying to say it's not. I feel like we can probably grow a pretty good crop of cotton in a lot of places in Oklahoma and maybe be a little more flexible with our fertility, whether it's rates or timing. Crop protection products are a little bit different. You know, if you don't put out a full rate, you are going to have a problem. If you don't make an application, you are going to have a problem. You know, we're pretty good about being efficient with the way we use them, but we still need to use them. You know, there's some really good herbicide programs out there. you know, we've preached for years about residuals when it comes to herbicides. You start getting short on some of these post-emerge products, it's going to put even a bigger emphasis on getting your residuals out. Insecticides are the same thing. You know, we've got some really great traits out there that help us with some certain species. We start running short on some products, we can be in a big problem. So it may also put a bigger emphasis on scouting this year if we do have shortages, or we have to be a little more flexible with what we're using or when we're using it. So yeah, that's certainly something that I think going into 2022 is something that we need to be addressing now is crop protection.
Everybody's still pretty happy with the prices currently?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of talk out there, and you know, I'm not smart enough to understand how, you know, all the market things work. But even with some talk of prices going down, they're still at a pretty favorable level. You know, it's still much higher than we were a couple of years ago or 3 years ago. So yeah, you know, when we have decent yields, it's great, but decent yields with really, really good prices is even better. So our yields are average or maybe a little above average. Our quality is pretty good, but the prices are really good. So that helps a lot.
All right, Seth Bird, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Yeah, thank you.